Are you ready to focus for the next few moments on God's Word? Awesome. Well, let's do it. We're in a series that we're entitling, In a Galilee Far, Far Away. And last week we talked about how God has always had a plan to save us. He's always had a plan to send Jesus, his son. And we also looked at that he also has plans for you and your life. And this week we're talking about hope, a new hope. If you got your Bibles, we'd like for you to turn in them to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be reading today in Luke chapter 2 out of the New Living Translation, or the NLT. If you're using your Bible on your phone, you're going to go up to the top and change the translation to NLT, Luke chapter 2. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin, and inside your bulletin, there are some notes where you can follow along with today's message. If you did not receive a bulletin, you'd like one now. If you go ahead and raise your hand, somebody will bring you one here in the next few moments. Okay. So today the kids continued the Christmas story, and it involved angels and sheep herders or shepherds and proclaiming glory to God in the highest. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring joy, great joy, to all people." And the angels, when they finished telling the shepherds had to say, "Let's go see this for ourselves." And so they went into Bethlehem. They went to go find the child and his mom and his dad. And they saw exactly, the way the angels had described it. And they went and they told everybody. They said, "Look, angels came. They told us what it was going to be like. And we saw it ourselves. And it was amazing." And that's where we pick up in today's story, because we're about to read a section of the Christmas story that we gloss over all the time. You see, there's this traditional Christmas story that we hear that, oh, the angels visit Mary, and then Mary's going to travel with Joseph to Bethlehem. And then the angels are going to proclaim it. And then we skip over to the wise men are going to come and worship Jesus. But right here, smack dab in Luke chapter 2, with verse 21, there's another story that takes place that's just as important a part of the Christmas story. And so it's what we're going to read, Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 26, New Living Translation. It says this: 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, "If a woman's firstborn child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord." So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This might be where two turtle doves comes from. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Let's pray. God, you are amazing. And we're so thankful that you loved us so much to give us a promise of sending your son to be our Savior. And we celebrate it in this season. And God, we pray that for the next few moments as we dig into your word, I pray that you would challenge both our hearts and our minds, that you would speak to us in a very special way. Lord, let no person leave today the same as when they came in. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Amen. Now, when I was growing up as a kid, I loved Christmas time. And it was before the days of the internet. And so it was hard to know what kind of toys were out there until you received a certain thick book in the mail. The Wish Book. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The Wish Book. You see, we get the Sears Wish Book, and we flip through all the toys, and we would take a pen or we'd take a highlighter, and we'd circle, "Mom, Dad, this is what I'm really wanting for Christmas." And our hopes for Christmas was based on properly circling and properly highlighting. And my brothers and I, we had to share the same book. And so we had to figure out a way that, how can we tell if it's Ryan or Eric or Andrew? That's asking for the item in the book. But when we saw the book, we were filled with hope because there was a promise that Christmas was coming. Presents would be underneath the tree, and something magical happens when you circled. Somehow it appeared under the tree in a few days. And it's something we loved about Christmas, getting presents. And you know, we ask our kids for lists of presents, and my on both sides of our families, the grandparents are really big about, you got to send us the lists for the kids. And so we told the kids a couple weeks ago, you got to make your list and you got to send them off to grandma and grandpa on both sides. And it was just this week that I realized that I don't know what they sent them. I'd kind of like to know what's on their list this year. And so I wrote their aunt yesterday and I said, can you send me their list so I know kind of what they're asking for? Because I like to shop and I want to see what they're getting. And as a parent, it's fun to get presents for your kids. And I was really appalled at what they returned back to me. You see, my kids did not list, I want a Lego set, you know, I want this, I mean, I didn't want this video game. They included the hyperlinks directly to the website where you can buy it online. And so the list was a bunch of hyperlinks to Amazon and Walmart. And oh, how far we've come. How far we've come. But Christmas fills us with hope, and today we're talking about a new hope. You see, Joseph and Mary, after the birth of their child, they were doing their thing. They had to take their child when the time was right, at the eighth day, to the temple for him to be named and to be circumcised. And then they had to come dedicate him to God because he was a firstborn son. And so they're doing all these things, but then we hear about a dude named Simeon. And Simeon's an old dude. And Luke decides in this passage to share the Christmas story through this guy's eyes. And when we look at that, we discover that promises bring hope. Promises bring hope. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, when I was a young kid, I was excited because I was too young to see the first two Star Wars movies in the movie theater. But I was just the right age for the third one, Return of the Jedi. And I talked to my mom and dad, and I said, I've got to see it. I can't wait to find out what happens next. And my parents said, there's just no way. We don't know how we can do it. And it costs a lot of money to go to the movies. And I began thinking, what can I do? I wish that I could go see it. And I don't know how it worked out, but here's what I can tell you, is that some kid at school invited me to come spend the night at his house. And as part of the spending the night, we were going to the opening night of Return of the Jedi in the movie theater. And I was blown away, an experience beyond anything. I can remember it to this day. It was amazing to see it in the movie theater. And it was cool because I saw my wish become a reality. And I've been talking with a lot of you guys, and I've been actually kind of surprised at how many people think they're going to win the tickets today to go see the next Star Wars movie. That I don't know if you've taken math or statistics, but compared to lots of things, you actually have a good chance of winning if you compare it to like the lottery or something. But we see something where we are going to receive tickets or there's a drawing or something. We think, I've got a chance because I'm feeling lucky today. We build up our hopes. We build up that this is going to happen. And I've got some sad news that there's only going to be two winners today. And they're going to win a pair of tickets each. And two people are going to be really happy. And then a whole room of people are going to be like, oh, man, that's it of the tickets. Unless I could promise you something else. What if I could tell you that we're going to have an encore giveaway next Sunday where there'll be more tickets available? It won't be to the premiere because the premiere happens this week. It'll be for a showing that's after next Sunday, but what do you think about that? Is that a good deal? It kind of lifts your hope, lifts your spirits. You see, promises bring hope. And I'm promising you that this is not the last day of tickets. You still have a chance of getting to see the new Star Wars movie for free on us. And you got to come back next week to win it. But did you know that 40% of all marriage proposals take place between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day. And they've done a study to find out what is the most popular day to ask somebody to marry you. And the most popular day, the number one, it just recently in the last couple years moved to number one, is this day, Christmas Eve. Can you guess what number two is? Christmas Day. And let's go out on a limb, and can you guess what number three is? New Year's, yes, New Year's. And it's kind of fun to think about, and it happens a lot, and we wonder why. And as a matter of fact, there's actually somebody who's associated with our church that's probably going to be popping the question this holiday season, and you can just wonder about that. But we like to celebrate engagements. We like marriage proposals because you know what they are? They're promises that bring hope. We're saying, will you marry me? And in exchange for this ring, I'm saying, one day, I am going to marry you, and it's going to happen soon. It's not something we're going to wonder forever and ever, but it's going to happen. And that's what was happening with Simeon. You see, he had grown up knowing what the promise of God was, that God had a plan to send a Messiah, a Savior. And he lived his life saying, I hope it happens in my lifetime. I hope it happens. It's going to happen. God put the plan in motion. But see, God spoke to him one day and gave him a promise that superseded the promises that any other generation had received. And the promise that Simeon got that day when he heard from the Lord was that you're not going to die until you see the promised Messiah come. You're going to get to see him. Wouldn't that be an amazing promise to hear from God? That he knows it's going to happen. This is not going to be something. I mean, we're talking hundreds and thousands of years has passed since the first promise till it actually was happening. And here was a guy who loved God, who followed God, and God gave him a word that said, you're going to get to see him. And this promise brought him hope. Simeon wasn't just wishing he'd get to see the Messiah. He had a promise from God. And the promise was as good as done. The second thing we see in this passage is that promises fulfilled bring joy. You see, Christmas changes when you have kids in the picture. You know, when your family gets to the stage where your kids grow up and they're kind of that in-between stage of they don't have kids yet and, you know, they're not any fun anymore at Christmas time because they just want expensive things and, you know, you can't buy lots of little toys and get all excited, but you know, that changed for us when we started having our first kid. And Shalee's parents and her sister came, and the biggest Christmas ever was our firstborn son's third Christmas. He was just under 3 years old, or he's right around 3 years old. It was in 2003. And he had expressed an interest in trains, and he loved trains. And at that time, there was this new toy that came out that was called GeoTrax. And you could build your trains and put all the stations together, and you could put the trains on the tracks, and you put batteries in them, push the button, and they would just go by themselves. And it was really cool because a little toddler can play and put this together. And Dad liked it a lot, too, because I could build huge, gigantic train sets going all around the living room. But for that Christmas, everyone in our family kind of went crazy buying GeoTrax. That when it came time for all the Christmas to be underneath the tree, you couldn't really see the tree because there was a stack of gifts of every accessory, every set that ever been made of GeoTrax was sitting underneath our tree. And Randon didn't have a clue. He was 3 years old. He was like, oh, presents. And so he'd open up his present, and oh, it's a train. He's like, I want to play with the train. I'm like, no, you got presents. He'd open up some more, and he'd be like, I want to play with the trains. And we're like, no, you got to open up more presents. It was the longest Christmas ever. He got so tired of opening presents, we finally had to open presents for him. He just wanted to play with the toys. But having kids around, it changes things. And the Bible says on this particular day that we're reading about in Luke chapter 2 was that Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple today, saying, go to the temple today. And it just happened to be the day that Joseph and Mary had traveled to Jerusalem to dedicate their firstborn son to God. And when Simeon saw Mary, when he saw Joseph, and he saw the baby, he knew. Everything changed because there was a kid in the picture. And he knew that was the kid that God promised that he would see. The Bible says that Simeon went over to the parents and he asked if he could pick up the child. And he got to hold the child. And he praised God. Because on that day, a day he was led by God to go to the temple, a promise was fulfilled. And fulfilled promises bring joy. The third thing that we can see about promises and hope is that hope sustains us. Simeon had waited his entire life, his whole life. He had this promise that God gave him, not just that the Messiah was going to come, but that he was going to get to see the Messiah before he would pass on from this planet. And on that day that he's holding the child in his arms, he praised God, and here's what he said. He said, God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. It's now out in the open for everyone to see, a God-revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people Israel. You see, the Christmas story is a story about God's promise being fulfilled. The promise was fulfilled for Simeon that day, and it was fulfilled for us too. You see, Christmas is proof that God keeps his promises. Not only, I mean, last week we talked about all the prophecies and everything that was foretold. It was a plan all along that God was going to send his son. And there was predictions made, and in Matthew goes through great lengths to say, look, his coming proved this and answered this and fulfilled this. And on top of that, we get to hear about Simeon's promise that God said, you'll get to see the child before you pass on from this earth. So Christmas is proof that God keeps his promises. So the question is, do you need hope today? Because God has promises for you today. And if you're looking for a promise from God, how about we grab one in Isaiah 43, a promise that God has for you. It says this, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you, all of Egypt with rich Cush and Seba thrown in. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back, trade the creation just for you. So don't be afraid. I'm with you. Who needs to claim that promise from God today? Yeah. And can you imagine the experience of knowing that God fulfills his promises? And when God's promises are fulfilled, it brings joy. And when we have hope like this, knowing that God fulfills his promises, it sustains us throughout our lives. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says this, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. The Christmas story gives us hope through a promise and joy through a promise fulfilled, and this hope sustains us. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. God, It's the most wonderful time of the year when we can celebrate the plan and the promise fulfilled of sending your son, Jesus. And knowing that there's a promise that he would come and that you did it for us, that gives us hope. And God, this morning, today, we'd like to say thank you. Thank you for that hope. But God, we celebrate Christmas not just because you were giving us hope, but you were also giving us joy because sending your son was a fulfillment to that promise. And because you fulfilled it, you've given us great joy. Then in the season, when we sing joy to the world, we're also singing joy to us. We are full of joy because you did what you said you're going to do. And just like you kept your promise for Simeon, we can believe today that you keep your promises for us. And I believe, God, that your promise for us today is what we read in Isaiah 43. That you know our names, that we belong to you, that you'll always be there. You'll not let us go down. It won't be dead ends, but it's because you're our personal God. You're our Savior, and you love us so much. And we have nothing to be afraid of because you're with us. And it's that promise, those promises today, God, that we say we're grabbing hold of that. We have hope, and we can know that God fulfills his promises. We can trust in that. So God, if there's anyone here today who feels hopeless, God, I pray that they'd feel you now, that they'd recognize what this really is all about, that we have fun with presents and we have fun with trees and gifts and all these things, but God, really, Christmas is a celebration that you do what you say you're going to do. And this gives us hope, and this hope sustains us. So God, I pray that you would help each and every one here today to feel your hope, to rest assured in your promises, to experience joy when we see you move in our lives. And we thank you for that. But you may be here today and you would say, Pastor Ryan, you don't know how far gone I am. I'm way beyond hope. I've messed up lots of things, but I like what you're talking about. I could believe in a God that fulfills his promises, that won't let me down. And you know, because you've tried lots of things, you felt an emptiness inside. You've tried to fill it up with people, with relationships, with stuff. And nothing's worked. You still feel empty. And that's because it can only happen when your hope is based in God himself. When you live your life and you dedicate your life to serving him and following him. You see, and Christmas is the celebration of God sending a son, not just to celebrate a baby being born, but that his son was coming to save us, to rescue us, to give us life, to give us hope, to give us focus to our lives. And today is a day that can be the first day of the rest of your life, that you can make a decision where you could say, God, I'm sorry. God, I need you. I need you in control of my life. He doesn't force his way in. It all comes with you saying, I surrender. I give it to you. So today, as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm just talking with you. And I'm going to ask you, is today today to make a decision to put God in charge of your life? to experience this hope and this joy that we're talking about today of what Christmas is all about. If that's you, if you would like to make that decision today, let me know as your pastor. Just slip your hand up so I can see it, because I want to pray with you right now. Make a decision. Thank you. Thank you. So now we're going to pray all together. That prayer that many of us have prayed at one time or another, to put God in charge of our lives. And here at Focus Church, nobody prays alone and making the most important decision of your life. So I invite everyone to pray, repeating after me. Say, "Dear God, I'm sorry. I want you in charge of my life. I believe you sent your son to save me. I want to live for you. I want your hope. I want your joy. I want purpose. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name."